Oh, praise God. All right, did you come get the word this morning? Good, because that's what you're going to get. Today we're taking a break from warfare. We've been talking for quite a few months on spiritual warfare. And there does come a time where you need some R&R. That is something finally our military has learned, but they're still not real good on it. And that is troops need away from the battle from time to time. And sometimes you need away from the training as well. But so today, this message kind of got birthed out of this whole trip. And it was something that I just started noticing, and it's something that I've done, and I told my wife, I said, I'm done doing it. I said, from now on, 7.5 hours is enough to drive in one shot. Because you got to understand, we drove through the Blue Ridge Mountains, we drove over the New River Gorge, we drove through all that stuff, and I did not get to see it. Kind of hard to see it when you're running 75. I didn't get to see all the beautiful creation because we had a goal in mind. My father and I are a lot alike, and I've told her, I said, I'm not waiting until I'm 60 to figure this out. I'm stopping now. Unfortunately, we did push ourselves, but we left at 6 o'clock that morning and got back at my aunt's in Charleston at about 12:30 the next morning. So it was a long, hard, hot drive that turned into a thunderstorm in Richmond. And yeah, I said, no more. We're done. We're going to enjoy the scenery. And I'm not going to get scared to death. We'll just stop there. Curves at 80 miles an hour at midnight aren't cool. When you can't see the road anymore and you're looking at something, and you're, okay, are we... Is that a gully? Are we going over? I think it's time we stop. We should have stopped. Yeah. Yeah, you can't take it out of them for some way, reason. But anyhow, what birthed in it was, what's the purpose of life? What's the purpose of our life? Is it to bring glory to God? That's a part of it. Is it just to have fun? That's another part. We are supposed to have some fun. God gave us all things to enjoy. Or is it just to exist? I'm afraid that's where a lot of people are stuck at. They are stuck in a part where I'm just here to exist. And, I've talked with many believers who have gotten into their 90s, and some of them are saying, God, why am I still here? And I told this one particular person, I said, if you're still alive and breathing, God's not done with you. You still have things you can do. Just like my uncle, which, by the way, he looked great. And, I had to think, he has to have somebody help take care of him, which is not a problem. I mean, 93, that's kind of to be expected. But he's still on his own, still sharp as a tack on things. But you go back about 80 years ago, and things are a little fuzzy. Okay, you know what? Things are a little fuzzy from last night. And I didn't do any drinking or anything, just so you know. But why do we exist? What is our purpose? A lot of times we're just so destined. We have death. And I'm sick of hearing believers say, oh, for me to go on. You are alive for a reason. The Apostle Paul was not saying that he wanted to die. He wanted to fulfill the will of God in his life. Did you notice Paul died a little older? God didn't just say, okay, whoop, you're done. You preached for 3 years, you're done. He kept going and going and going. Paul was an older gentleman by the time he did die. Peter was older. They had a purpose. Billy Graham is still alive. I'm sure he would like to go on. But he knows he still has a purpose in life. But so many times believers, and these are younger people, oh, to be a martyr. God does not need you to die. Jesus Christ did that. And by the way, persecution of the church does cause the church to grow. But your death is not going to bring about a revival. The whole thing we've got, we rally around somebody's death. You think I'm kidding? Look at the verdict last week. But yet we forget the facts. We forget all the other deaths that have occurred since that point. We're rallying around one death, and I do believe justice was served, just so you know. That's all I'm going to say about that. But our life is not revolved about our death, because there's something we've forgotten. We were not created to die. God created us to live forever. That's what the tree of life was. The tree of life, I believe, actually, whether it was supernatural power or if it was actual nutrients that God knew our body needed, he took that from man. Well, actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. But you were created to live forever. Ergo, your death is not the end. And by the way, the Bible says this body will be resurrected. All bodies will be resurrected. The dead in Christ first. So this body dies and then it's recreated into something new. You will live on. And by the way, we do not reside in heaven. Read Revelation, please. Oh, I'm not of this world. Yet Paul was talking about we are strangers and aliens in a world that we actually own, but the system we are not a part of. I'm tired of people saying, oh, just forget this old world. God so loved the world. Why are we in such a hurry to die and get off this planet? Every day that I'm alive, I hope is an opportunity for somebody to see God through me. So what's the purpose of my life? By the way, everything that we have for our purpose comes from our perspective, things we've been taught. I can only recollect on just some of these things, but it's the way we were brought up. Old hymns we were taught. Everybody sang about glory. We want to go on to glory. How about we live here and create heaven on earth with God's love? He came down. Why? I mean, when my card is pulled, it's time to go. But I'm not going to, oh yeah, woohoo. I mean, I plan on being old, so yeah, I'm going to rejoice. I'm moving on. But my purpose right now is to be a reflection of Christ in this earth, and we forget that. For us to understand life, we need to look at the one who gave us life. What does he have to say about our lives? Well, I've already established that he created us to live forever. Now, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 1. And 26. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all the creeping things that creeps on the earth. So God looked down and he said, I'm going to create man. Man was something that had never existed. Because God created us in his image. Well, I want to know what God really looks like. Did you not hear the words of Jesus? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. We want to see God so bad, but we forget Jesus was here. We saw the Father. By the way, the Holy Ghost, ding, 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 ding. Three are one. You cannot see God without seeing Christ, and you cannot see Christ without love. So God said, I want to create. Let me put it this way. Look to your left. Let me get my bearings right. Look to your right. All right. You see all those people? You just seen the face of God. Don't worry about what you're going to do when you're standing before Him. It's a great song, don't get me wrong. Because there is a little more power in the Almighty. Because we are merely reflections, or supposed to be, of God. Okay? The reflection is never quite as powerful as the actual source. You know, we can sit here, you know, I've done it. I ashamedly admit it, that I would take my watch in classroom when the sun would shine through and try to blind the teacher. Might have been why I got stuck on the front row more times than I can count. But the source of my reflection was so much greater than the actual reflection. It was just a little blinding. Oh, man. But you cannot look at the sun. It will leave spots, and eventually permanent. So God created man to look like Him and to have authority like Him. God created you to have dominion in this earth. God was just not creating just another being to exist. Okay, I got to share this with you. I cannot firmly believe that man had no clue what death was, because I believe the animals did die. Okay? You know how I know? Because He told him, He said, in that day you will surely die. You have to have a comprehension of what death is first in order to fear death. So there had to be death in order for them to understand it. God created us beings to learn as we go. I mean, I don't remember coming out of the womb and being able to preach. I definitely didn't come out of the womb being able to drive a car. It was something I learned as I went, something my father had to teach me. And you want to know what's, here's what's hilarious. We pick up the same mannerisms as those who taught us. If somebody's got something bad to say about your driving, they're talking about whoever taught you to drive. Because you will do that. And I've had to actually learn in myself, because I saw things that my dad did when he was teaching me, and he yelled at me for doing them. But I learned from you. You know, we did have the opportunity. We're at Virginia Beach, so we had to go under the tunnel there. Not the Chesapeake Bay, but the other one. So we went under the water. You got to do that sometime. And anyhow, so we went underneath it, but on our way back, we see this sign flashing that says 6 mile backup at HRBT. And I'm like, I have no idea what HRBT is, but I only know one way out of this place. And so we get up there, and I saw it. Yeah, it was, I think, Harris River Bridge Tunnel. That's what HRBT is. It was backed up going in under the river. And, you know, it didn't bother me. I told Dad, I said, driving in Japan taught me good. I said, it was bumper to bumper most of the time, and we drove like nuts. So I said, Dad's like, that didn't scare me. Oh, but I was squeezing the seat pretty tight. It was either that or get crunched. And but it's like, I learned from you. We learn from God. God came down to teach man how to have dominion. The Bible says that when Adam and Eve had sinned, that God came down in the cool of the day, which would be the evening. He came down in the evening to walk, and they heard His sound. God came down probably every day to commune with man and to show man how to have dominion, how to rule with authority. Now, Kenneth Copeland has said this, and I I have no reason to doubt it, but there's nothing in the Bible to confirm it either. So it's a speculation. But that eventually God would have allowed man to know the difference between good and evil. I don't know. Because you know what created sin? That knowledge. That's it. The knowledge of good and evil created sin in our life. God came down and was trying to teach man. Now, here's the thing, and this is where Kenneth clarifies this, that God was teaching man as he went how to rule, how to have dominion, how to have that authority and not sin, to reveal who God was. But this happened, I believe, in such an early time in Adam and Eve's existence, they did not have a full grip on who God was. And they were exposed to sin. Because God did then say in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22 that man has now become like us, knowing good from evil. And that's when God cut out the tree of life, because he did not want us to live forever in sin. If God had just wanted another monkey, he would have created a monkey, but he created us to be beings of intelligence. We can learn. Yes, I know a monkey can learn, but a monkey still cannot do what we can do. God created a being that has the same abilities that he has. He made a being, though, that seemed slightly inferior than the angels. That's what David wrote. Who is man that you have created, that you love him? For you created him slightly lower than the angels. The angels had already rebelled. God knew before Adam that Jesus would come as the inferior flesh and defeat the seemingly superior, rebellious, angelic, or demonic forces. God knew all that beforehand, so he created man slightly inferior in the fact that we are not just spiritual, we are not spiritual beings that can zoom around. We are flesh. The flesh does have its limitations. Why not just create us with all capabilities and abilities that God possesses? Because God created us beings that had to learn in a process. Okay? Always keep that in mind. Everybody is learning at different paces. Everybody's learning in a different process. We are all at different spiritual levels here in our growth. Every last one of us. Since there was no death, there was no destination. We weren't just living so that we could leave a good name behind, or that we could leave an inheritance to our children's children. See, that seems to be what we're all going from one goal to the next, and we seem to forget life happens in between those goals. You know, so many times I look back on things in my life and think, well, God, why was I so focused on this? Finally, in my last 6 months in Okinawa, I finally got past, okay, my rotation date. I was just living to fly. I was living for that rotation date. That's all I was living for. I wasn't doing anything. I did volunteer for a detachment to the Philippines, but I did not do anything. Eventually, I did get into some things I shouldn't have, but the point being, there was so much to see. And those last 6 months, I finally decided, I'm going to live. See, this is the thing that had been burned into me for so long, that when you're a Christian, you start dying the day you become born again. We forget we've got a life to live, and there's so much that God has put on this earth. And by living and seeing and experiencing things, I can now appreciate so much more. People that refuse to fly cannot appreciate the beauty and the majesty of the clouds. I am amazed every time. And folks, I have flown thousands upon thousands of miles. I don't do it regularly, but I got to tell you, when you get up above them clouds, especially when you're kind of flying along and you see those big ones that rise up, knowing that they are miles high, it's beautiful. And especially knowing that there's a hurricane going on underneath you. And you're up there and the sky's blue. And you can see the majesty, and especially where you can see where the blue sky starts to turn dark. Or yet, better yet, you're flying and there's no clouds. And you can see icebergs. By the way, I've seen the sun rise twice on the same day. It's a little weird. But I have flown within a mile of Russia, back when communism had just fallen, and flown up by the Arctic Circle and seen the beauty of this earth. But so many people will tell you not to waste your time on that. I have so much more respect and understanding of the majesty of God by seeing His creation. By meeting different people and understanding that God loves that Filipino as much as He loves me. That God loves that Japanese as much as He loves me. That it's not about the color of my skin or the shape of my eyes. But it's the fact that that person is in the image of God too. That should blow all of our minds. Because the majority of us in here come from European descent. What about the Asians and the Africans? We're all God's people. We are created in His image. And He died for them. But today in the world of instance, we focus on the destination. When I got to Okinawa, you know what? First thing we do, anybody that's ever been deployed or overseas, you create a countdown calendar. And you start, you remember those? Start marking off the days. The day you start counting down. And so I did that. And I didn't want to go off base. I just went between bases. I didn't want to experience the Japanese culture. I didn't want to, forget this place. Finally, the last 6 months, I'm thinking, okay, I've already been here a year. I might as well learn a little bit about the island. It's only 65 miles long. Doesn't take long to travel all that. And I finally got in a car. Folks, I did some things that to this day I wish I could go do them again because of the beauty. I went diving. Do you know what it's like to see a lionfish in the wild? By the way, they're poisonous. Or a sea snake, one of the most deadly snakes in the world, just sitting there in the water floating like this. And then to stir up the water around him and leave the guy without flippers a layer. He called us everything but white men. But the beauty to look down and to see the starfish just laying on the bottom. And then to dive down and have your head nearly explode because it was a lot deeper than it looked. But to pull something up that was this big and it's now no more than the size of your hand. To start experiencing life. I decided to do that. I went into a castle. I actually couldn't go into it, but we went to it. To a castle that was carved out of solid coral. Because I decided to do a little bit of living. Because the hillbilly ideology is, I don't need to see it. Thank God Christopher Columbus did not have that ideology. We'd all still be trying to find a way to the new world. But we overlook things every day around us. We take for granted. What is around you right now? What is there around you? There are so many things in existence right here. There's history here that you don't know about. You know, the big brick house on the corner right here was part of the Underground Railroad. There's several other houses around. They were part of the Underground Railroad. They freed slaves right here. But we choose to die instead of learning. That's how we become more like God. We see the roses and drive by at 100 miles an hour. While we may see in a glimpse their beauty, we miss the attention to detail that God put into creating them because we're so busy. We miss the fragrance, the system that God created of insects and birds to pollinate them. You can only see that when you stop and watch. The beauty of a hummingbird. Do you know man still can't create something that does that? We create a helicopter, but it creates all this wind and dust and stuff. And God created a little bird. Builds a nest that big around. This tiny little bird can sit there and hover. And then zip off just like that. And it can stay there and stick its beak right inside that flower and get the pollen. Get the nectar out of there. And it keeps going on. God created all that. But you know what? We're so busy in living that we forget to live. Because our idea of living is to die. We live to die. I from this day forward, I live to live. Especially when I share what the rest of this message is about. Things that occur in our lives happen to develop the character. Let me make sure I didn't skip a page. Yeah. Happen to develop the character of God in us. The lion and the bear that came before David, they happened, they occurred so that the character of God would rise up in David. David would have never taken on Goliath had he not had the experience of the lion and the bear. Just as parents, we must spend time with their, just as parents must spend time with their children to develop their characters, we must spend our lives walking with God to develop ours. So many people today are, I don't know what's wrong with my kid. How much time do you spend with your child? See, and one thing that I am going to work on, the majority of my time with my children is working. I'm going to spend more time developing their character and things that aren't work related. Oh, but you got to work all the time, Pastor. Where'd that ideology come from? Because that's not what my Bible says. It came from a generation that's all they knew. And I'm going to tell you something. They were a faithless generation for the most part. I'm not talking about they didn't believe there was a God. Remember, I call that demonic faith. That's the base level. Even the demons believe. I'm talking about faith that God will provide. Is it not God that said you shall have houses you did not build, vineyards that you did not plant? Trust me, he said. But he wanted those children. He wanted the time. We call it family time, but it's not really family time. It's goal-oriented time. Even when I had my motorcycle, I had a hard time relaxing on it because I had to have a destination. Anybody else understand what I'm talking about? I had to go from point A to point B. As long as I had that, it was 80 miles an hour. Rawr, going out through there, hair on fire, the whole nine yards. Exactly. What was the rush? I took time off to enjoy the things God had put me. But you know what I did? I drove the highways. You can't see all of this country on the highways. Although my main reason for driving the highways is there was a certain speed I could drive. But think about this. The little movie Cars brought it about. We built a superhighway from one coast to the other. I-40 goes from Wilmington, North Carolina to Barstow, California. It took out all the scenery. You don't get to see all of that. You don't get to meet the people. There was a time in life when people traveled, they actually talked to other people from different cultures. Doesn't happen anymore. We're on the phone, we're texting all the time, we're doing this, we're doing that. Can I tell you a little something that might, hopefully if you'll get this, it'll free you? Your phone is for your convenience. You don't have to answer it. I don't care if it's me. You don't have to answer your phone. Do you know how many times I silence mine? I'm busy. Well, you're just spending some time with your children. Ding, 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 ding. You are not that important. Hello. Call God. You're His child, not mine. You have got to pick your priorities in life. I did. I got rid of my motorcycle because I was the only one who could enjoy it. And I saw bad character flaws starting to develop. But my sons were growing up. My oldest one, well, he wasn't going to get on the back of it because he's bigger than me. He wanted his own motorcycle, which was fine by me. But what about the next one and the next one? And I had three more people in my life. Well, Angela could get a motorcycle. I don't want her to get a motorcycle. We thought about the sidecar, but they cost as much as a real car. They're not cheap. Pat and I went to try to bid on one at an auction, and I forget how many thousand, like $3,000 or $4,000. And the motorcycle it was attached to was smaller than mine. And it wasn't worth that. It was the car. Only when we mature as humans do we really begin to see our parents in a different light. You know, there does come at point in your life where you're like, Mom and Dad weren't as stupid as I thought they were. I say that because everybody has thought that at one time in their life. Mom and Dad don't know what they're talking about. Yeah, Mom and Dad did have a better clue than they let on. But it only happened when we matured. So who changed? We did, primarily. But hopefully both of us did. Because, see, we aren't called to stay the same. Even as parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, we're supposed to keep changing into the image of God. But mostly it's us. We should continue to always change into His image. 1 Corinthians 13, 11 through 12. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, he's saying when I matured, because I got to tell you something, folks, just because somebody turns 18, just because somebody's got children, just because somebody's got grandchildren, does not mean they are mature. I have seen so many adults who are babies because they act like it. Why do I got so many? They're either looking at you or Kyle or Bob, one of the two. But Paul was saying, when I was a child, that's what I acted like. But I am now a man, and therefore I should put away acting like a child. Well, it's my ball. I'm going home. Come on. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just also as I am known. Who's the mirror, folks? What are we looking at? God. We're to be looking at God to see our reflection. And right now we're looking up and we're only seeing a portion. We're only seeing an outline. We're seeing things dimly. because we're not fully mature yet. But Paul said, but when I am mature, when I am there, I will look into that mirror and I will see just as God always saw me. Do you get that? God already sees you mature. He's not looking at you and saying, you know what? You acted like a baby here, so that's the way I'm going to see you. Big old baby sucking your thumb. He says, no, I see you already victorious. I see you already the victor and the mature warrior that I knew you could be. You just have to mature. By the way, I need to point something out. Does anybody know what 1 Corinthians 13 is all about? Love. Not theology. Not knowledge. Not wisdom. Not book smarts. None of that. Not physical capabilities. It's all about love. The whole chapter. It's called the love chapter. God wants us to grow in love. He wants us to mature. Will people let us down every day of your life? What do? You love them anyhow. But when we're children, we cannot foretell what we're going to look like. It's only hindsight that we can look back. You know, we've got some pictures of me as a baby, you know, on the wall and stuff with everybody else's, and my wife can pick out my baby pictures. But when I was about 10, a friend of mine brought a class picture, and we brought it and sat it down. She couldn't pick me out because in 10 years I had changed. And after I pointed myself out, well, of course they could pick me out. Oh, yeah, of course now I can see it. But see, when I was 6 months old in that picture, you couldn't have determined by looking at my boot camp picture that that was the same child. Yeah, I had about the same amount of hair. Not much. But you couldn't tell who it was because of maturity. You don't know what you're looking like mature-wise. You're just looking and you're... That's what Paul was saying. I'm looking in this mirror and it's dim right now. But then when love becomes mature, I'm going to see God. I'm going to see how God sees me because I'm looking at Him seeing myself. Because I'm a direct reflection back. You getting that? You're not actually seeing yourself, you're seeing God. And when you can see that back, that's when you know you're on the right track. So what brings about this change in our lives? Walking in the power of God, that changes us. Glory to God, I can cast out demons. I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I can move mountains with my faith. None of those mean you're mature. Not a one of them. They're simply signs of believing in the power of God and what He has said. That's all those are. The only thing that changes us is love. That's why Paul wrote that. That's why he was inspired to write that to the Corinthian church. And nearly 2,000 years later, we have that to remind us that love is the only thing that matures us. We're not going to turn here, but Matthew 25, 31 through 46, Jesus was talking about the separation of the sheep and the goats. And He told the sheep, He said, you come here and enter in. He said, for I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. And then the other ones, He's going to say, enter into hell. By the way, sheep and goats live in the same herds. That's why it's called the separation. Those that reject Jesus Christ are automatically over there. He's talking about, I'm judging my church now. And in my church, there are sheep and there are goats. In Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23, Jesus actually kind of, this was a prelude to the parable of the sheep and the goats. But when he said that when the separation comes, there will be those who go this way. He said, but there's going to be many who say, Lord, Lord, Lord. But it's actually declaring him, Lord. That's what it is. It's not that they actually said it twice. It was the way it was written that it was declaring verbally and very loudly that Jesus is Lord. Okay, they were saying, he's my Lord. And he says, depart from me, for I never knew you. But Lord, didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we heal the sick? He said, I never knew you, for I was hungry and you never visited me. You never gave me food. I was alone and destitute and you never even showed up. I was hurting. But Lord, when did we see this? When you did it to the least of these. I heard Glenn Kaiser one time put it this way. He said, the person you love the least is the way you love God the most. Think about that. Who do you hate? That's how much you love God. And Glenn knew something about loving the unlovable. His ministry was Jesus People USA in downtown Chicago. One of the roughest places in the United States. And he was raising his family among the homeless, among the gangbangers. And he was still showing them love. By the way, he was also lead singer and guitarist for Res Band. And he used Res Band to provide money. He didn't look like a preacher. He wore leather, long hair until it fell out. But he reached out to the hurting. He reached out to those who needed God. You didn't find him trying to draw in doctors and lawyers. And I'm going to tell you something, people. That's what I have stood against. If you're a doctor or a lawyer, praise God, but I don't hold you any higher than the unemployed person. That's all there is to it. I'm not moved by your money. I'm not definitely not moved by your influence. Why? Because I serve somebody who's got a little bit more influence than you. He snaps his fingers, the president jumps. That's all there is to it. They never knew him. They served him, but they never knew him. You got to remember, any time in the Bible that the word knew is thrown in there, Greek or Hebrew, it's talking about an intimate knowledge. That's why in the very beginning in Genesis it says Adam knew his wife. It's not always talking about the sexual connotation as it was there. It's talking about that intimate knowledge of that person that you can only get by being close to them. You know their smell. You know the sound of even a rumble in their chest, them clearing their throat. You know it's them. That's how detailed this knew is. He said, depart from me because you never knew me. You who practice lawlessness. Can I tell you a little something? These very people, the ones that he's talking about, these goats, they are the most legalistic people you will meet. I'm not saying that they live by the law of the Old Testament. They create their own legalism. you can only serve God. You know, Rick was telling me the other day, he stopped by the other day and we were talking about, just the way some ministers are. He said, I know some ministers, just because you're wearing shorts today, they would not ever let you in their church to preach. I'm like, well, I don't need to preach to them anyhow. Because here in a couple weeks, I'm going to preach in shorts. The only time I'll do it, because we have the picnic afterwards, but that's my personal, okay? Because if we were in Bermuda, we'd all be wearing shorts. Trust me. Yeah. We are not going to get legalistic about, you need to wear a tie, brother. Why is it in the United States is the only place we tell you got to wear a tie? Why is it in the United States that this is the only place that preachers preach, you got to give? Why? It's not being taught in Europe. That's not what the message is going out in Europe. It's about faith. But yet in the United States, what do we teach? You got to give. I was amazed. Where everything I read, the Apostle Paul said, hey, you need to take care of the apostles as they're preaching and giving you the word. He said, those who labor are worth double. But we don't teach that overseas. Why? We really don't love them. I've taught you to give, but it's not my main message. I'm not. You know it when I. You got to give. You got to give here. You've got to give. There's many messages on that, but I'm not talking about that today. I'm talking about changing into the character of God. Why do you think God looked at David before he was even selected and he said, there is a man who is after my heart? I have to think of how much it tore him up to have Uriah killed. He knew that Uriah had taken a vow to never leave his side. He knew the dedication Uriah had to his brothers in arms, because he would not go and sleep with his wife that night. He knew all of that. And the turmoil that he must have been in when he gave the orders to send him into a suicide mission. But yet in all that, God said he was still a man after my heart. Why? Read Psalms. Start reading them. Quit trying to read them just as poetry. Read them to see God's heart, that how much God loved us, how much God revealed himself to David because David realized that love. That's why David was able to do the things he did. It wasn't because God loved David any more than he loves you or me. It's because David chose to know God. David knew his journey was not of death, but that life was the journey. Life is a highway, folks. I love that song. Life really is a highway. What are you doing on the journey? Are you driving by at 90 miles an hour, not stopping at the scenic overlook to see the beauty and the majesty? Or are you staying completely on the highway where you don't come in contact with anybody? Now, I understand there's a time you need to hit 71, 77, get someplace. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking everyday things. I don't want to can't get bogged down by talking to people. Can't do this, can't do that. You ain't got to spend an hour talking to somebody. But you can learn a lot about people by talking to them. Jesus was a people person. Have we forgotten that? I mean, we want to try to win souls to the Lord, but how can you win souls to the Lord when you won't talk to people? Well, I'm just going to give my money to the Billy Graham Association. That only works for so long. I believe that there are appointed so many people to you. You can reach people I can't. That's why. God says, Rob, there's people I'm going to put in your life that you can speak into their lives. You can sow the seed. that I can't, that I can't get through. Everybody in here has that opportunity. But are we so focused on eat, sleep, work, go to bed? Eat, sleep, work, go to bed. But that's what we've become spiritually. Eat, sleep, die. Eat, sleep, die. Eat, sleep, die. Eat, sleep, die. It's a cycle. We've got death at the end of it. You never know when it's coming out. I know. Everybody, well, bless God, I'm going to die in old age. Well, you know what? That hasn't happened for everybody. Didn't happen for Rich Mullins. Didn't happen for Keith Green. Even, his name, crossing the switchblade. David Wilkerson. He didn't die as old as I'm sure he was planning on. Dottie Rambo. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying don't focus on death. Focus on living. But don't focus on just having fun all the time. There is a balance. There's a time to have fun and a time to do what you're supposed to do. If all of our life is recreation, when do we get our job done? There's sometimes I believe that God put me on this earth to accomplish so many tasks, and right now I'm so far behind I will never die. But that doesn't mean I got to stop. Yeah. I'd prefer to be Enoch, but take me out 365, and although Enoch's got to die too. Next thing I know, I won't have anybody in the house. And if I don't take the time to develop their character, they're going to go out and do ungodly things. They're going to be tempted anyhow. But they will never develop that good character that I need them to develop, that strong character, if I don't spend time with them. Well, Pastor, that's it. No more men's breakfast. I'm going. That hour once a month is not going to take away. Because guess what? Each one of us needs that. We need. The Bible says as iron sharpens iron. That's what we are. It's not that we got to sit there and talk about the Bible the whole time. Sometimes the countenance just needs some of that stuff shaved off. Hey, the camaraderie. We get to talk about the Word. But you know what we talk about a lot? It's life. Filing off those edges. Because guess what puts those dulls down the edges of your knife? Using it. Life. Take some time and enjoy what God has given us. Learn to capitalize on it. And those of you who are fathers, here, let me give you a helper. Take those opportunities to talk about God to your children. What greater time to talk to people? Because guess what? Somebody is going to do your child wrong. And there's nothing you can do about it. You need to teach that child how to trust God, how to forgive, and how to love that person through it. Because if all you teach your child is, well, bless God, we'll go out, slash their tires, and we'll tear up their yard with our trucks. It's what we want to do, ain't it, Joshua? He and I are alike. We think about it. Oh, yeah. I mean, he was thinking about how to take off that guy's finger when he flipped me off just as much as I was. Because he's the one that looked back and says, I know him. I went to school with him. But oh, bless God. An opportunity to let him go. And it took... Greater is he that's in me than he that wants to cut off the guy's finger. Yeah, well, there was a battle, about 15 minutes. Praise God, my wife's middle name is Grace. And Grace spoke at that particular moment. How miserable must he be that that's all he's known for? Let's enjoy our lives. Let's forget trying to get from point A to point B and everything. How about we establish what God wants us to do and go about our life? Every time I try to do something that isn't God's will for my life, life becomes a drudgery. Oh, I gotta do this. Oh, my whole life stops just to focus on that. You know what? Forget it. I think I'm done with it. I'm gonna enjoy life and people. That doesn't mean I'm gonna spend an hour with you after church. Sorry. It's not happening. As I've said before, you may not want, coming out of the anointing, you know what I'm talking about, brother? You may not want to know. Because see, sometimes even up here, I buffer things a little. Yeah, believe it or not. If you want it straight from the mouth of God, the mountains shake. So he uses me. And I still have a certain amount of I don't want to run people off. It's hard enough to build a church when most churches today are focused on programs instead of the word. I can't compete with a Starbucks in the front. Can't compete with that, nor do I want to, because I hate Starbucks. I like good coffee. But we can't compete with that. I'd rather compete with what I'm supposed to. You're here because you want the word. Well, we can have a drama every day. We can have create a drama team and do that, but it gets some people, and there's some people that's out, they can receive that way, and I bless them. That's not us. I like how that light, everybody's face lights up when that flips. It should be flipping to the pictures, so you should be seeing random pictures of the United States going across there, fields and rivers and mountains, but for some reason it decides it has to search. Well, let's stand. And I want you today to determine that you're going to enjoy life. Because guess what? Somebody's going to pee in your Wheaties tomorrow. Yeah. And if you haven't heard that term, you just did now. And I buffered that one. But you get the point. Somebody is going to do you wrong. And all you're going to do is run around singing another somebody done somebody wrong song. And it's me this time. Boo-hoo-hoo. If it's somebody else, I'll go suck it up. But no, this is me. Enjoy the cruise. Enjoy it. You know, I was talking with my aunt the other night, and she says, oh, you know, she says, I love getting prepared for the trip. She says, I hate going. She says, when it gets up time to leave, I don't want to leave. I said, you know what? I'm kind of the same way. I kept thinking, God, do I go on this trip? Do I go on this trip? Do I go on this trip? I mean, I see it more as a time for Dad and I to reconnect a little. Do I go on this trip? Do I go on this trip? Do we go on this trip, Dad? Okay. No, nothing stopped us. So away we went. But you know what? Had a good time. Burnt the top of my head. It was my own fault. I should have put my hat on. But got to learn lots of things. Life is a highway. Enjoy the ride. And sometimes it's funner when you're in a convertible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God. Father, first off, the revelation, our life is not about us dying. that it was never your intentions for us to live and die, but are your intentions for us to live continually, to become in your image, to be changed by the things that happen to us in this life. Father, you knew things were going to happen. You even knew Adam and Eve were going to bite on that apple. And Father, that you had already made preparations for it. That you made preparations because you asked Jesus Christ even before you created man. Before you laid the foundations of this earth, you asked your Son if he would be willing to do it. So Father, I thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for taking that upon yourself to do that for us. And for the revelation again, Father, that our life is not just about us dying, but about the journey. Lord, help us to enjoy this journey. Help us to enjoy the ride. Even though it may get a little bumpy, the road will smooth out. The road may be a little topsy or curvy, but there will be the straightaways, and sometimes the curves reveal a whole new set of mountains. Father, just help us to learn to enjoy life and to be the example that you've created on this earth. Help us to reflect you, Lord, in each and everything we say and everything we do. May it be tempered with your love. Now, Father, I bless your people today. I pray, Lord God, that you go before them. Father, and you know where the rough road is. And I ask, Lord God, that you help them to just hold on and know the road will smoothen out. In Jesus' name, amen.